Good evening and welcome to the Disney Discord podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Graham, and tonight I'm joined by
Bernardo from the Main Street News.
And we have news today, do we not, Bernardo? We have some news.
We have some very exciting news.
Very exciting news. I think we'll leave that till later on in the show. We'll leave that as we build up to our speculation, but you're just back from Disneyland Paris, aren't you?
That's right. I returned yesterday, so very late in the evening. So today I just slept like a baby until very late, which is great to do on a Sunday. But yeah, I had an amazing stay at Cheyenne this time, and just to finish the 30th anniversary in style and attend the Halloween AP party, which was all very amazing.
Perfect. And what made you want to go? What was the driving force behind this trip?
I think it was actually the AP party. I like that a lot. Those exclusive-ish parties. I just find it very fun, and you know, having the attractions with very low wait times is also a plus. So yeah, that was it. And my brother, my younger brother, just joined me, and we went, the two of us, to DLP.
Magical. So yes, you went for the end of the 30th anniversary. Before we cover what the 30th anniversary was, what was special about the AP party for the 30th anniversary? What did they put on?
Yeah, so they had a lot of stuff from older parties and Halloween parties, but this year they don't have a Halloween party. They just did this. No hard ticket events this time. And it was very fun. The opening ceremony was really fun. They came out with the Dreams and Shine Brighter song and choreography and everything. And I was just like, this again, really? This is a Halloween party. But then, you know, the villains took over Main Street and the plaza, and it was all very fun and very well done. I really enjoyed that.
And I think we've seen from that, it was we handed over to some of the previous events and celebrations that we had in Disneyland Paris. It looked like Pirates and Princesses poked its nose in.
Sorry, what was that?
I think it was the Pirates and Princess season that they had a throwback to that.
Did they?
Yeah, the characters.
Oh yeah, the Jimmy Ocean, and I don't know their names. I mean, they've been with the annual pass program for a long time now. They did start on the Pirates and the Princess season, so yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
I personally don't find them that much attractive, to be honest. So I don't really care about them.
Oh, but well, other than that, you're gonna hate this podcast.
Well, it's okay. Thank you.
So there wasn't only that throwback. There was also, I think, Disneyland Paris were teasing us during the party as well, because some of the music was from Fantillusion.
Yes, I saw that they were, so the speakers in all of the park were playing this villainous music from, you know, various movies and seasons. But Fantillusion was also playing, which I didn't recognize at first, but then I saw it on Twitter and I just, oh wow, that's right. So could it be that Fantillusion that's coming next year with a parade on the skies with drones? Or I don't know, it could be that. That's a very good point.
It was a tease though, wasn't it? It was a very specific tease. Yes. Disneyland Paris, for those who don't know, often does not use parade music other than for parades, and twice in the last day they've been caught doing that. So the first one was, there was an interlude from Fantillusion from the second show stop, which is the slightly darker show stop, and obviously it's Halloween themed, so it's not as though it couldn't be used for Halloween. However, we already know that we're going to be doing the Drones in the Sky electrical parade. And I think that this was a very subtle nod to, we haven't forgot about Fantillusion, because it's not, I mean, the Fantillusion's not been played from, when did it end, 2012 or something? So
It's very old, yeah.
it's very old, you know. It's not been listened to in 10, 11 years, 12 years, something like that. It's a long time before that parade has actually run. And I think that Disneyland Paris were subtly sending a small message to say, aha, we have not forgotten about
Yeah,
this music.
could be.
It was also, you know, the parade music was kind of old back then, and I think that from the clips I heard, it certainly sounded remastered, or at least it didn't sound as muffled as it normally sounded when, I mean, Fantavision was old when it got retired. So I was excited to hear
Yeah.
that. I've also heard today that they're doing the fountain show at the castle, and that the walkthrough of the Disney Village is playing Boo to You. When
Yeah. Yeah.
Boo to You is the Walt Disney World Halloween parade, which again, for Disneyland Paris, they don't commonly run parade music outside a parade. So I am shocked to see they're doing it. But secondly, I think there's some subtle hints in there that
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
the future obviously has something in it that Disneyland Paris are hinting to, because everything Disneyland Paris does is usually a hint to something you're going to see in the future.
It's very fun.
I thought, yeah, you've always got to be on your guard. They're always kind of teasing. Disneyland Paris Entertainment are always giving you something. We've seen that with the start of the 30th anniversary celebration, which started off as the Disney D-Lite pre-show.
Yeah.
And that was wildly received as a fantastic show that people really enjoyed. It was new, it was novel, it was the first time we had drones. We done the, you know, Happily Ever After sort of jingle and star that went across the castle. We'd done the 30th ears that were the silhouette of Mickey Mouse. And we'd done the sort of, in its first incantation, it was very basic. And I think everybody was impressed, but it was very basic. And then we've scaled that up through the years to become a situation where we're looking at very complex shows, be that the Bastille day show, which
Yeah,
was
it was very
heavily
impressive.
very impressive. It was, I mean, it had fireworks, but it was a predominantly a drone show, I would think. I think the main takeaway and the main
Oh,
sort
it
of
was a
memory people.
perfect mix. It was a perfect mix of drones and fireworks. It was
Yeah, but I
super
think
incredible.
when you leave that show, the fireworks weren't the thing that stayed with you. It was the
Oh,
drones.
yeah, no, the drones were absolutely astounding.
So I think we've seen from that. Now, that was a bit of technical preview because you were getting John Cenos showing off what they could do, and you had Disneyland Paris obviously putting on a show, and those are good things. But they were trying to get records and trying to obviously get bigger contracts and stuff and spread the knowledge of their product wider than just Disneyland Paris. So I get what they were doing there. However,
Something very, just to finish off that, something very interesting. Dronosys just posted a, I think it was one day ago, an Instagram post about the start of the use of drones in Disneyland Paris and Disney Delight. And they said that the Disney Delight show was only planned for a few weeks. But due to the overwhelming success, they continued it. So originally, it was going to be just there for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. But be it was just so incredibly huge, and the news got all over the world, and they just kept on going with them and
yeah.
upgraded the show. And I think that it was they Disney did not at anticipate the immense success that drones would have in DLP. And I think that the future will have a lot of the future shows will have a lot of drones, and the technology will continue to evolve, and we're looking to a very bright future in drone technology and shows. So,
Well, I
yeah.
think I think we look at it goes from that, you know, that small D-Lite show to the enhanced D-Lite show that it finishes on. It finishes almost with double the amount of drones, I think it is, when D-Lite plays now. And there's not just one drone show, but there's actually two. There's Power of the Night is also happening across in the Walt Disney Studios. Then you've got the bespoke shows for Bastille Day, and there was drones. Was there not drones at New Year last year as well? I'm sure there was.
I think so,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure there was.
Yeah. They made like a couple of drone. It was very enhanced in the new the new Bastille Day fireworks, but I think they did
Yeah.
like a small Eiffel Tower or something.
Yeah,
I don't really
they definitely.
remember.
I'm sure they had that at the New Year's Eve. We also seen last night the next evolution of the drone show, and this has taken a while, but it was interesting to see. So, what we've seen from the drone shows is we've seen very basic architecture. We've seen stick line architecture. Last night, I think we've seen an evolution of the drone show that we've not seen since its inception. And that was, I don't know if you caught the when they wrote Disney, they wrote Dreams in the Sky, and they done it with the colors and the, you know, the
Yes, I
shape of the
wasn't
Disney
actually
logo.
there. Yeah,
No, but
I
it was.
wasn't actually there. I was, but it was amazing. They ended Dreams, and right at the end, they had the huge logo in the skies, and they had a little post show as well with fireworks and
And
drones.
drones.
It
And
was
this is,
amazing.
I think. Now, we need to get someone to confirm this, but that didn't look like it was basic stick architecture anymore. It looked like they were using images as and allowing the drones to go and make the image, which is an evolution in the sense of no longer are they saying like drone one to position one, drone two to position two. It looked very, I don't know how to explain it. It looked more real and less staged. It looked far better. I don't know if they're using a different drone. I don't know if they were using more drones. It definitely looked a lot higher
Interesting.
definition.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It did look incredible.
So I
It more
think
like
that
a lot of more pixels.
yes, it looked more real. I don't know how to explain it because obviously it's always real, but yeah, more pixels, higher definition. It worked better. So the 30th, you know, has been a catalyst for drones, and I think they've probably introduced drones to the world of Disney. And this comes back to, you know, in the future, I think genuinely we're going to be seeing. I know I'll joke on and say we're going to be having Fantasmic in the studios, but this is the sort of thing where you can get round not needing a dragon in the middle of the lake. You could create a drone dragon in the middle of the lake. Like it is incredible when you think how much could you do with a drone that otherwise creativity would struggle on.
No, amazing.
The next thing we seen was Dream and Shine Brighter, which we know it as, and obviously possibly the listeners of the podcast will know the what was meant as an additional cavalcade and castle show. It was always meant as an additional show. It was never meant to detract from the main parade. It was always the second show, if that makes sense. And it was called Dream and Shine Brighter. However, Dream and Shine Brighter is actually known to 90% of the audience as Ready for the Ride, and it's just because they take it right out of the song. So if you're listening along, you're like, I don't know what Dream and Shine Brighter is. It's most people refer to it as the Ready for the Ride parade. And this is the purple and blue and the sort of silver, I guess,
They have a
parade that
name for
comes.
that color. It's iridescent, or is that Disney
Iridescent,
World?
yeah. Well,
I'm not sure.
yeah, iridescent was Walt Disney World, but I think they stole it for everywhere after they thought, oh, that's a fantastic
Yeah, I
idea.
think
Like,
so.
we'll see. I mean, they stole, once Disneyland Paris done the 30th logo, Walt Disney World stole the 50th logo and made it the same. They were like, oh, wait a minute, that is really cool. But Dream and Shine Brighter is the mini parade. Although I don't want to call it the mini parade because I actually think it's like I think it time wise, given that it runs multiple times a day and it does a different show each time, it actually is probably the longer parade over the course of the day. But
Yeah, and
this
they
took the sorry,
yeah. No,
this
and
took
they have
everybody by
the
storm.
show in the plaza as well, the stop. So
Yeah.
that it's pretty big compared to which is the name of Disney Stars on Parade. So
So
that's interesting actually.
this show, for those who've never seen it or have only watched it on YouTube, you maybe don't catch this from it, but it's not the same. So the basic premise is the same. The floats travel, but there's different characters depending on what show you see at which point in the day, the characters switch. And secondly, the characters and the dancers switch which of the four castle hub podiums are on. So there is a sequence where they change several times a day, and a lot of people don't realize that it's not always the same show. It's a slightly different show. There's also about three generations of dancers that have done the show, and this
Yeah. I think
Again,
it's
this.
two. I'm not sure.
Nah,
Is it three?
there's two cohorts, but there's definitely three generations because there's some that were
Oh,
there
okay.
yesterday that have not done it for the like it, they obviously done it and then there was a brief pause and then it came back. But
Oh, yeah.
I think much like the D-Light show, I think that Dream and Shine Brighter was maybe scheduled only for, 3 to 6 months, and then I think they
Yeah, it could
intended,
be.
and I think that it just ended up being more popular than the actual parade that Disneyland Paris were like, well, okay. I mean, remember, they took Dream and Shine Brighter down for, what was it they took it down for? Did they not take it down for Christmas or Halloween or something last year?
Yeah, I think
And
so.
then they had to put out the mini one that just kept, that played the track and it had like five dancers and one float and they just had to keep throwing it out every couple hours.
I think they did have it for Halloween. I think it was Christmas. Yeah,
Yeah,
I remember that.
so because they had cancelled it for the Christmas Cavalcade, there was such an uproar that actually this was a fantastic show that they ended up sending it, I think it was like one float, and it had like five dancers and two characters or something, and it just, as fast as it could, it made it from its way from Main Street to the Fantasyland depot, and they rotated the float every now and again. I still remember that they had to run the Dream and Taste the Dream and Shine Brighter, which was hilarious. But that also had a rocky start. I remember when the 30th launched. I mean, I've gone back today and looked at some of the comments. Now, I'm not gonna name the YouTubers because I don't, or the tweeters or anything like that, because I don't think it's fair. But if you go back and you look at some of the initial reviews, Disney D-Light was warmly received, but they thought it was a bit of a boring show. It was a nice tag on, but they thought it would never make a real show. And then secondly, Dream and Shine Brighter, you'll probably remember this. People mocked the floats, saying that they were too basic and they were just,
I
Disneyland
mean,
Paris is just.
the show's budget was probably ridiculous. They did reuse these floats were reused, and they just, pasted some
Rainbows on
colored
them.
in rainbows. So, but it became iconic, and just that made it incredible.
Indeed. So we also
But yeah.
had, as part of the 30th anniversary, it's hard sometimes to remember. So this is the second evolution of the 30th anniversary, because obviously it was that popular, as is the case that normally these things get dragged on. We're going to take Avengers Campus out of the 30th anniversary celebration, because although it did launch as part of the 30th anniversary, Avengers Campus is very much, it was coming whether it was the 30th, the 32nd, the 105th, the whatever. It was coming anyway. Finally, Disneyland Paris listened to its fans and got rid of Disney Illuminations and shot that show and instead returned us to Disney Dreams, which is a very similar show but is better received by, it has a better story. I think
Oh, it's so much better.
I
I
think people
hated
like it.
Illuminations. I was so sick of it.
Yeah.
Sorry to
Yeah,
those who
so
like it, but yeah, just
no,
breaking my
I think you're
heart.
right. We got It's a Small World come back in, I think it was May. And it came back after being shut for far too long for its refurb that then discovered asbestos and like there was a whole, I think it was asbestos. I think I'm
Situation.
remembering.
Yeah,
There was a
it was,
situ, there was a situation and it took, I mean, Disneyland Paris have to obviously do it so it's safe and stuff. So I totally get what they're doing there. And then we are, what else did we have? Oh, the Pixar thing, the Together.
Oh yeah, together, the new
That's
show.
technically part two as well. So you had
Yeah.
that, and
Yeah,
then you had,
it was the grand finale. The part two you're talking about is the grand finale, right?
the part
Which
two.
started this year. Okay.
So we had that as well. So this is really where the 30th just got. I mean, the 30th brand was so good, and people, were talking about how much they really enjoyed the 30th, and that was because of, Disney D-Light. It was because Ready for the Ride, Dream and Shine Brighter. It was because of Power of the Night and the Avengers show. It was the world's first Avengers like regular fireworks show, and that, Disneyland Paris has been celebrated for that. And it's not just like, oh, Disneyland Paris done a token, Avengers show. It actually managed to maintain that throughout the whole process. It has become a benchmark for Disneyland Paris to do these things. And there was a comment last night by one of I was looking, and somebody was like, "Oh God, it's a shame we're not going to get to see anything as cool as this." And the 30th was, but it made me think back to the 20th anniversary of Disneyland Paris. And I get that a lot of people were very young when that happened, but
Yes.
the 20th anniversary was actually a turning point for Disneyland Paris. So the 20th anniversary was back in 2012. And the 20th anniversary was also a mega anniversary. Like it
Was
was
that
not a
when
small.
the dreams came
Well,
from the
dream.
20th, right?
Well, this is what I was going to come on to. So it's interesting
Oh,
because
yeah.
the 20th anniversary was Disney Dreams. It was the launch of Disney Dreams. It was the launch of the Disney Magic on Parade. It was where you got Meet Mickey Mouse as you understand it today, like the right at the
Okay.
back of the
Fantasyland?
part, at the back of Fantasyland. And then you had the what isn't I'm told is not Casey Jr., but it looks like Casey Jr. is the Celebration Train that'll no doubt remake. And that was the 20th, and I remember it had a really cool jingle, and Mickey had I think it was like a purple outfit for that one. And it was a huge deal.
Interesting.
I mean, it was a huge deal. And that obviously, the big one that merged in with that was the expansion for Ratatouille. So Ratatouille opened as part of was the second part, I guess, of the 20th anniversary. So we can see that actually some of these anniversaries are, major milestones for what we expect in Disneyland Paris.
I guess so.
And
I,
then
yeah.
the 25th was an evolution almost off the 20th, and the 25th gave us some interesting things. So the 25th was where we launched Illuminations. It was at a time when we thought Illuminations though was stolen from was stolen from Shanghai. It was, I mean, Disney told me it definitely wasn't. Like they told me it 100% was not stolen from that. However, it's very clear that the scenes line
It's
up.
the
They're in the
same
same
show,
order. They're
but the
it's the same.
Chinese parts.
The Chinese parts have been deleted. So we had Magic on Parade prior to Stars on Parade, but I mean, in some ways, I get that Stars on Parade is a new show, but it's not in many of the same. It uses a lot of the same sequences, and we had that one. We done.
Was that Star Tours, The Adventures Continue?
Yep,
I
we
think
got
it
the
was
event.
also, yeah.
So we got the Adventures Continue for starters. We got the Illuminations. We got the new parade with the steampunk dragon. Everybody liked the dragon. We had it was very it was princesses, and it was glitz, and it was glamour, and it was like I think it kicked off with Royal Christmas Wishes, and then you got the princesses done their little waltz thing, and it was dreadful. It was dreadful, and it was the reintroduction of Mickey and Minnie doing the goodnight kiss, when you're walking out the park and they wave and they.
People
So it was
love
a
that, by the
reintroduction.
way.
They do, but I mean, it wasn't there. I mean, interestingly, people don't realize this, but it wasn't there. Like, it got taken away. And then it was reintroduced for the 25th. It was a big deal to come back for the 25th. I remember it. And I think we got, if I remember rightly, the trains had been down for some time and we got them refurbished and they came back. So there was a whole, the 25th was a big deal as well. And that leads us on to the 30th has ended. However, it's worth keeping in mind that the 30th has gone on for almost 2 years now. So, I mean, it had to come to an end. Disney's busy celebrating its 100th year. So we're looking at that. And Disneyland Paris opened in what 1992, which puts us at yes, it's 32 or something this year. Yeah, it's going to turn 32. So the 30th anniversary starts before the 30th anniversary and runs to well after the 30th anniversary. So we had to let it go. We're going to go into Halloween season, which looks not bad. It just doesn't have a Halloween soirée. And then we're going to roll into Christmas, and then we'll run into what many of the Disneyland Paris geeks like ourselves really enjoy, which is the plain weeks, which is like 3 weeks in January where there's just nothing. And then I think we're back into seasons.
Is it, doesn't the new season begin in those weeks in January? I think it
It does,
does.
but it's like a soft, you get like January 7th till January 21st or something. Where
Okay.
I don't think it's a full season. And then what is it we're rolling into? It'll be some sort of spring nonsense or something.
I don't
But
know.
not looked that far. We should look at the website. Anyway, we're here to review the 30th. So you were there for the last day of the 30th. What would you explain? I mean, the park looked as though it had people in it that were there to see just that.
Yeah, so the parks were very full. There were a lot of people, and I think it had to do with the previous night as well. So it was just a lot of stuff happening. Just in Main Street and the plaza, it was full, completely full the entire day. Just people waiting and singing and even crying, watching the Dream and Shine Brighter show. And the energy was really incredible, to be honest. I really liked it. And I actually watched the last show, the last Dream and Shine Brighter, and I think I've never seen Main Street so completely filled like that. For a parade, at least. Maybe during the nighttime spectacular, but for a parade, it was completely filled to the brim. And people were singing, dancing. A lot of people dressed with the 30th clothes inspired by the parade. So it was a whole scene. But yeah, it was. Mo it, if I had to say something, it's probably just Main Street completely filled with people from crying to laughing to dancing, everything.
Well, I certainly think we're going to see Dream and Shine Brighter, Ready for the Ride, D-Light. I don't think these things are done. Like, I know they're done for now, but I don't think they're done for good.
Yeah, it's I don't yeah. I saw you say that a couple some hours ago. I'm not sure, to be honest. The ride,
I think we could.
the music and stuff, I don't know.
Oh, I think we're going to see. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know when it'll be. There's a lot to happen, but yeah, I think we're going to see it for a short term. They know they struck gold with that. Bob Iger loved that show when he came across and seen it. And secondly, the thing that was telling to me is Natasha Rafalski, the president and CEO of Disneyland Paris, was there on the last day to see the last performance. And even though they had contract photographers and they had broadcast cameras recording it, she was standing there taking a video or a photo on her iPhone, which, if the president is taking her own photo for her own memories versus just being like, yeah, got that in the corporate vault, that tells you that the show struck magic. So
That's true, yeah.
now we've had 30 years of Disneyland Paris. In fact, we've nearly had 32 years of Disneyland Paris now, but. But it is time to move on because, as much as the 30th has been very exciting and some of the best entertainment and Disneyland Paris delivered entertainment has knocked it out of the park, we need to look to the future now because potentially we're talking about more interesting things in the future that blow all this out of the water. So, I mean, this started a couple of days ago, and I think Disneyland Paris got in on the fun and started. They released their attractions guidance on trees.
I
Disneyland
still
Paris
don't understand what happened
randomly in the
that was
morning one day, Disneyland Paris added 65 species of trees to the park app.
as attractions, which I don't, yeah, well,
Does
that's the
this
most
Tim?
Disneyland Paris thing ever, to be honest.
I think it's a slip. I think it's for VR in future, so that as you're wandering the park, you can go into the history, like the areas around, like the history of Silver Spur Steakhouse, and then you look at the tree, and it's like, this is a sycamore tree from blah blah blah. I think they didn't mean to release it, but I think it's probably for something VR or AR related, like in the
Oh,
future.
interesting.
That's my take
Yeah,
on
it
it.
would be. It would
That's
be,
my hot take on it. But it was funny to see 65 species of trees got added to the farm as new attractions. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Bernardo, what are we here to talk about?
So I think we talked about the announcement of the $60 billion in the last podcast.
We did.
So just to very quickly, the Walt Disney Company announced that they would be investing around $60 billion worldwide in the next decade in the Disney parks and cruise line. And some days later, some things began, whispering in the deep corners of the web about Disneyland Paris's share of that money, which turns out to be from, and this is from Ali directly, from 10 to 15 billion euros. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Yeah, that's at least 10 Galaxy's Edges. So just to
Yeah.
put it into context. And
And we don't even have a
we don't
Galaxy's Edge
know.
yet.
We don't have a Galaxy's Edge yet, as you said. We were going to, but then it got canceled. And Ellie has said that the outside years will release the plans in the coming years. Some plans, so it should be our first unofficial look into Lion King, which I'm terribly excited for. But what comes after, we don't know, and that's the most interesting part, because the Lion King land should have its budget already fixed and prepared from those $2.5 billion they invested in 2018, I think. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for hotels, lands, attractions, and then in 10 more years, the third gate. Which is something, again, terribly exciting, but still very far in the future.
Yeah. So we've got the theater district upgrade happening, and that was pre-approved. We have the Lion, well, we're calling it Lion King, but we're pretty sure it's going to be the Lion King expansion around the lake. We had notarized as well that we're pretty convinced the Star Wars expansion on the edge of Discovery Land, and they were pretty, I mean, Disney will add all the money I mean, the expansion that was already announced will be involved, will be part of the funding that they're talking about again, because Disney's terrible actually at recounting money that it's already spending. Like, so, but we shouldn't be disheartened by that, because even if you take 15 billion, you take 2.5 off it, you're still left with a ginormous amount of money. The other interesting thing is everybody uses Galaxy's Edge as a scale, but it's interesting if you think about it, Radiator Springs Racers in that land cost them, was it $275 million?
Yeah, I think
And
it was around 300, yeah.
yeah, and then you had Ratatouille in
Avatar.
Disney.
Oh, Ratatouille, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to go for Ratatouille. Ratatouille was
Yeah.
200 million or something, and that was back in 2012. And then you had Pandora, which, what was the price on Pandora?
Pretty sure it was 500 million, so
Yes.
half a billion.
So that's cheaper than Galaxy's Edge was by a fair bit. So, and these are good lands, like Radiator Springs Racers in the Radiator Springs area in Disney in California is fantastic. Like, it's one of the best lands I've ever been in. If you're looking at Ratatouille as well, another great land added to the studios. I mean, people argue about is Paris and Paris normal, but it's there. It got added to Epcot based on the popularity of Disneyland Paris. So, I mean, these were relatively cheaper lands to build, and that comes down to the fact that Radiator Springs, while it's based on cars and a cartoon, it is still based on structures you would see on Earth. So it's easier to make structures. It is easier to make structures that you would. So there are ways to kind of cheapen this stuff down. Like the Lion King land, for example, doesn't have to be that expensive because, again, we're used to seeing kind of mountains and, for Star Wars,
Savannas and oh, mountains,
mountains and trees are quite cheap in comparison to when you're
Number
trying to
two.
do do upside down rocks of Pandora, or you're trying
Yeah.
to create the sort of situation in Batuu where you have out of this world experiences. When you have Earth-like structures, it's much cheaper to actually build and implement because people are like, well, that's easier. Like building France in France was relatively
Yeah.
cheap because, well, they had all the materials and all the knowledge already there. So there are ways that Disney don't have to spend it all in big chunks. Like it doesn't happen. Cosmic Rewind
But
at Epcot
they
was.
still can. They still can. They have the money for that.
I mean, they've got the money to go extravagant, but
Yeah.
Cosmic Rewind in Epcot was 500 million. It was £500 million to build one roller
Yeah.
coaster.
To their credit, there were a lot of problems with budgets and COVID. Still, it doesn't, it's still a hell of a lot of money, but they had problems. So,
The question comes in, would you have bought one Cars Land plus Ratatouille's area, whatever Ratatouille land is called? Would you have bought both of them, or would you have bought one Cosmic Rewind? And I think, some people are a bit like,
No.
we could talk about this a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, Disneyland Paris, it shouldn't go out there and spend 15 billion on three rides and be like, oh, we've built the three best rides ever. That
Yeah, it doesn't
to me
make
is a waste of
sense.
money.
Nah.
It doesn't make sense. So
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen. They've always been good at investing pretty wisely in the resort. And,
Yeah,
necessity
to be
being the
honest,
mother.
they don't. They hadn't had that much money, or as much money as other parks. So they kind of had to, spend it very wisely and, try to make the most out of it. I think at least.
Yeah, I mean they had a cheaper version, for example, of Tower of Terror, and they've got there's certain things that Disneyland Paris do that just make that actually aren't bad. Like I still think the Disneyland Paris version of Tower of Terror is as good as the Walt Disney World version, and I think the lower weights
But
because it's a.
it was actually more expensive though.
Yeah, but that was because of inflation. I mean, Tower of Terror was open for. I mean, inflate the cost, and I'm pretty sure it was probably
Yeah,
cheaper
true.
overall.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
They came up with a higher capacity version of it. The Walt Disney Studios Park, it struggled with certain things. However, their new sort of stuff, like Flight Force, was a necessity to be cheap, and I think Flight Force is a very good roller coaster if you rate it based on itself. I know a lot of people don't, but I quite like it. And
Oh,
we've
to be
seen.
honest, let me just add something there because I didn't have. Oh my God, I can speak English. It was the first time riding the Flight Force coaster with the new effects, so I did this Thursday, and it's actually so much more enjoyable. The new stars just make that whole thing completely different for me. They don't have the stars the same as in Space Mountain, where they have just one of those disco balls, and the stars keep on, just moving. They have stationary stars, and they're really well done. I liked it a lot more than I used to. So it definitely was a pretty big change, at least for me, which it was definitely needed because, as you said, that coaster was very cheaply made. Which was unfortunate, to be honest. But yeah, go ahead. You can.
So they're good at not wasting money in many ways, and I think that
Yeah.
there are some. I know a lot of people hate Cars Route 66 and stuff, but it was, the alternative was lose the attraction for a few years, because they were taking out
Yeah.
the stunt show, not the stunt show, sorry, the tram show thing. I can't even remember
The
how it was
tram,
called. It was that Grim, that
studio,
Grim.
studio tram tour.
Studio tour or something like that, yeah. It was dreadful. And Cars Route 66 soaks up people. It makes kids really happy that they get a wave to their favourite cars. People, I mean, it isn't, for us, it's not the most exciting. However, still, it was seen as a budget thing, and I think it's done relatively well. And I like they created a little area for it as well. I like that it wasn't just a case of slapping the attraction, they created a nice little area for it. It's nice to go on a summer's day. And I think that as long as they maintain that sort of discipline and don't get sucked into, we'll build one 500 million pound ride followed by £1 billion, I think that they need to stay disciplined, stay true to Disneyland Paris, which is by giving us a decent number of really good attractions, and giving us proper dining and shopping for each area as well, that the Disneyland Paris formula works quite well. And I think that's probably up there with the idea that I would have in mind for it. And I think that, a lot of people are shouting, "Oh, but Disneyland Park hasn't had that much improvement." Disneyland Park can sink some of the busiest days at Disneyland, and it can take some of the highest crowds, and you've seen that, just over the last few days. I think it maybe needs one or two little attractions to perk it up. I think a Discovery Land expansion to give it Star Wars would be good. I think maybe Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway in Fantasyland, and possibly another Adventureland attraction would be good. But again, I'm not in the mood for, like, let's not do anything that destroys the heart of that park. Like, let's.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It has a wonderful
Because that
Fantasyland,
park,
like.
yes, no, that park, when it opened, it was just absolutely perfect. The Imagineers really did something incredible, and in one way, I'm actually glad Disney hasn't touched a lot in the main park, because they could have easily ruined, as you were saying, a lot of the magic that makes that entire park, which is the intricacies and the amazing details. I mean, Frontierland is one of the most perfect places I've ever been in. So there's
You don't.
something just so incredible.
Yeah, you don't. I'm loathed for them to go in and take a nice big scalpel and be like, "We're going to improve this." I would much rather see a little addition at the back of Discovery Land for Star Wars, Mickey's Runaway Railway.
Maybe some a bit of a Indiana Jones adventure, make a little Indiana Jones land. Wouldn't be too mad about that.
I think that tasteful iterations and additions to what already exists are good. I think if we're, I don't want to see any sort of Disneyland in California, right? We're going to shut down the whole of Tomorrowland and redo it, because they have a habit of just leaving. Like, the People Mover there famously is still there. Like, the track is still there, but there's no ride. Like, let's not push them to do these wide scale reimaginations, and you end up with, like, people were very excited for the Nautilus returning. That's the sort of thing that gets taken out and replaced by, I don't know, a smoking shelter or something.
For
And
sure.
then the Walt Disney Studios has got, it's opening with the lake's going to open with Frozen, and then the Theatre District improvement, and then the sort of English expansion, as it's been referred to, the fairy tale sort of expansion, which has got the tangled
The
sort of restaurant,
gardens, yes.
the
The
English
promenade.
gardens, the promenade, and
Yes,
then it's got
yes.
the Alice in Wonderland show that, despite we've all mocked it, like we've mocked, Ready for the Ride and Dreamin' Shine Brighter before it launched, I think this is going to be surprisingly one of these really nice things. I've got some videos on my channel from the White Rabbit Alice in Wonderland party in Disney's California Adventure, and the White Rabbit party was fantastic. And I think there's a possibility that maybe Disneyland Paris are sitting on a. I'm going to regret this. I can tell I'm going to regret this, but they might have a really good idea here that we've just not given them time for.
Yeah,
And.
I think it will work all right, to be honest. I mean, the entertainment division always does wonders in Paris, so I'm not really worried about that. I'm actually pretty excited to see what they've come up with.
And then we've got the other side of this, which is the backside of Walt Disney Studios. I don't know, without looking at a map, but they have expansion plots. It's like a good five or six expansions they could do to around that lake.
They do have a lot of space to continue expanding. Even after the Lion King, supposed Lion King land, they still have a lot of space. In between Frozen and Lion King, there's a big space expansion slot. And then to the side, you have, even before Cars Road Trip, you still have a big plot of land where you can build a big land.
There was a fantastic tweet. Somebody had tweeted out what they had made their own little graphic for what they wanted to see, and it was really
Oh, I
good because
think I know who it is.
it
Yeah,
had a
I
full
can see
size
it from
Cars
here.
Land and everything in it, and it had Pandora, it had Cars Land, it had, I think it had Cosmic Rewind as well, Mission Breakout, it had that sort of thing. And it's interesting because it was just somebody's drawing. It wasn't anything official. It was just they were like, oh, this would look really cool. And I remember looking at that and thinking, I mean, they had just done it in a rough cut from Google Earth. But it was quite impressive to see that actually, when you open your mind a little and tweak it ever so slightly, you could fit in multiples of these lands quite easily. Like they would just slot in. It was wonderful to see. We've got some exciting times ahead there, and not to mention the lake show that can just bring us like fantastic drone shows. It can bring us fantastic, like Fantasmic. It could bring us, the funny thing is, Fantasmic at Walt Disney World and Fantasmic at Disneyland. I mean, it literally caught fire at Disneyland. It's going to cost $10 million to rebuild the damn dragon for Disneyland, and
Oh.
the dragon's been broken multiple times before. It's caught fire before. Like this has all happened before, but they still keep recreate the show because people rate it. It's got like a 97% approval because it's quite literally, Mickey is fighting a dragon. Fighting a dragon. It's good over evil. It can take every IP known to man. It doesn't really have that great a story either. It's just Mickey's dreaming and Mickey fights and his dream and wins. I mean, you can do whatever the hell you like, and they do. And people love that show. And it's rated, I mean, it was rated, I don't think it was as high as Wishes, but it was just behind Wishes, and it was ahead of Happily Ever After. It was ahead of All Day. And that's why Fantasmic never dies, because there are not many shows that go up against Fantasmic and win.
It's true. I mean, how old is Fantasmic by now?
Oh,
It's like
Fantasmic's about the
pretty
same
young.
age. I mean, is Fantasmic not 92 as well? In
Wow.
Fantasmic, I will Google it while we're here, but I mean, Fantasmic is a very old show. Like it, and it's been, Fantasmic's obviously been in Disneyland, and then it was brought to Hollywood Studios. So 1992, yeah, so it's 31 just now.
As old as DLP. Well,
Yeah, it is. So Fantasmic has persisted in Disneyland proper since 92. It joined Hollywood Studios in 98, and other than shutting for COVID and two long, well, a long refurbishment after COVID and a long refurbishment a couple of years before COVID, it has always operated there. And then it operated in Tokyo DisneySea for a good while. And it was replaced by, not a, it wasn't replaced by Fantasmic, but it was replaced by something that wasn't far from Fantasmic, I've got to say. It certainly
It's
seemed
pretty
like a
similar.
Fantasmic evolution. But then it got cancelled in the back. It just not been as good as Fantasmic. But Tokyo's odd. Tokyo really likes parades. Like Tokyo has, I mean, I think one of their parades goes on for something ridiculous, like 37, 40 minutes or something. Compared to, like they love, and they're not necessarily float parades either. These they like lots and lots of people in their parades, whereas we're much more float based. So Fantasmic's been kind of everywhere, and it's obviously loosely based on Fantasia, and I think
There's
there's
a
just one of
possibility.
those. I think there's a possibility that's probably coming. It also has, it's really interesting here. It's really interesting. I've just noticed something while I'm on the Wikipedia page, and I don't know how true this is, but it makes me really want to go and research it just now. So it says it's got its sponsors. Okay. And it says it's sponsored by Pandora in California, which it is. It's not sponsored in Hollywood Studios, although it has been previously. And it's sponsored by Perrier Water in France. Why does it have a sponsor in France? Like, the minute we're off this, I need to go and research the absolute hell out of that to find out why is Fantasmic being sponsored? So, yeah, we've got that idea, and it says, I mean, this person, thank you for finding the picture of the possible, but this person's obviously put there'll be a lake day and night show. They've got Cars Land in there, they've got Pandora in there, they've got Frozen in there. They've got the Lion King in there. They've left 1, 2, 3, 4 expansion pads, maybe 5. Yep. I mean, this person's just drawing it from Google Earth, and they're 100% right. Like, there's so much space. So we're looking at multiple expansions there, and then you've got the sort of, you done a video this week on the $15 billion theme park war in Europe.
Yes, that's true.
So what do you think's coming? What are we seeing next?
Well, you know, I think we will see a lot of these expansions we've talked about. That's just absolutely coming. And then we can go a little bit further, and because this budget will also, you know, will also be used for the third gate. So while we're talking about a lot of expansions in Walt Disney Studios and even Disneyland with Star Wars, we cannot forget that there's a third park coming, because it needs to appear and pop up in Disney, or they lose that land, and that's not good. So they have that land reserved. I think now it's until 36, so 2036. They can expand that. I think it's like 2 more years or something, and that's the end of the line. There's no more expanding that time frame. But it will eventually need to come, and when it does, some of these $15 billion will be used for that park. And I think that from now, from today, it'll be a complete race until that day arrives, the day of the opening of that third gate. And I think that's pretty, pretty interesting and exciting. Very exciting.
Well, we've also, we can also kind of, I mean, in news, and I know this isn't new news, I thought it was new news and told everybody it was new news, and everybody told me I was totally wrong and I should have known about this donkeys ago. But if you look at the site of the third park, which you've done a video on, haven't you?
I think I did, like, one of my first videos was about why Disney will have to build a third park.
Yeah, well, and you went in the locations, didn't you? Anyway, if you've not seen Bernardo's video, it's literally, you know, not the first field behind the Sequoia Lodge, it's the second field. And if you look at that huge second field, that realistically could fit 3 parks, it could fit 3 extra theme parks rather than just one. If you look at that site, it's worth you noting that the dirt that was pulled out for the lake in Walt Disney Studios is being used to create the berm of what would be the third park, which is up very close to the partner hotels. So that's up by the, it was the Kyriad, I think it's called the Campanile now, it's the Magic Circus, it's the B&B Disneyland Paris, it's up there. So that's going to be, it's very interesting that it's going to be up that corner, because it's going to make it a very short walk from things like the Santa Fe and the Cheyenne. It also probably means they can use some, I mean, if we're thinking about it, there's a little bit of field to the side where they can use for parking for it. I don't think they're going to need as much parking. And I think some of the money that they're spending on creating this berm and creating this third park infrastructure, some of the $15 billion would be used on creating some sort of transport system within Disneyland Paris. Because I don't think they're going to want you to, I don't think it's going to be a case of like Walt Disney World, you park in the bespoke parking lot off the theme park you're going to, and I don't really think they want to run a bus service from each hotel to a second park and stuff. I think that just costs a lot of money and a lot of labor. So I would think that all the buses and everything and the Disney Village getting expanded and everything means that they're still going to drag everybody from the hotels to the village and then have some sort of monorail or some sort of skyliner or some sort
of
transportation.
If I had to put my money on one of those, it would probably be the Skyliner, just because the company that built the Skyliner in Walt Disney World, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a French company, because they, you know, with the Alps and everything, they have a lot of experience building and operating these systems that are literally everywhere in France, mostly in the Alps. So out of those two, I think it should be the Skyliner. It's cheaper, easier to operate, doesn't break down as often. Mm-hmm. So if I had to put my money, it would be in that one, to be honest.
What do you think on it? I don't think they're going to build another huge car park and have two separate entrances with 90% of the resort in one place and then, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about this the other day, because if you look at Google Maps, you have a little triangle, it's huge, but a smaller triangle area that it's right just by the entrance. It's not a lot, but they could maybe expand a little bit to that site.
Yeah.
It wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't have that much capacity, but it would be a little bit better, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Has the car park ever been completely full? I don't think so.
No.
Parking lot, and with, you know, French pushing more and more trains, and, you know, with the car, the gas prices and everything, I think people will eventually stop coming as much in, you know, their cars and just use trains or buses or whatever.
Yeah. So no, I think you're 100% right. You've also already, in situations where the hotel car parks are full, Disneyland Paris often ropes off a section of the main car park for the hotels to overspill into those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, of course, the possibility, you know, if you're ever looking to expand some of the hotels like the Sequoia Lodge or anything, you could take a good bit of the car park away. I mean, once you've parked, a lot of people don't use it. I mean, if you're staying there 3 or 4 days, you don't need to go to your car each day.
Yeah, that's true.
Park it and forget it. So you've got options. Yeah, I think Summit's going to be on infrastructure, because, as I say, I don't think we're going to have one park with its own entrance and then everything else is elsewhere. I think Disney will definitely need to come up with a way that park is not the secluded park and is instead linked quite usefully by train, monorail, whatever, Skyliner, moving walkway, whatever they come up with, although it'll be a very long moving walkway. I don't think we'll have that. they have to come up with something that links both parts of the park together.
Yeah, and I think 100%.
They'll do that. I mean, Disneyland Paris are clever. They will do that.
And what's interesting, another thing that's interesting is that, you know, since the Euro Disney area is, or was, co-owned by the government and Disney, they have this thing that's called EPA Marne, which pretty much just handles all the development of that area. And I think it was like in March or April, Natasha Rafalski and elected officials, you know, gathered in a committee to oversee the development of the area. But when the focus was on phase 5, we're currently on phase 4, but the next phase 5 should include some, you know, some interesting things, maybe the third gate, maybe, I think it's mostly infrastructure, but, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure needed to run a third gate and new developments. So it could be, we could have some news just next year. I think it's going to be signed by summer 2024. Let me just check that out.
Yeah. So there's a lot on its way. What Yeah, so there's another big development to be signed. I think we're about to see some very exciting stuff. And interestingly, we have absolutely no idea what this third park would revolve around.
Yeah,
Like we have
true.
no It's really funny because we've all jumped Third Gate, and you know, for that level of spend, it does mean Third Gate. Like, let me be clear, it means Third Gate. For anybody who doubts, it means Third Gate. This is this level of expenditure can only mean Third Gate. Like,
100%.
please do not look into this and think, oh well, at 15 billion, they'll build some hotels and they'll build this and they'll build that. For Disneyland Paris, 15 billion is a third gate. So
I mean,
that is happening.
Shanghai Disneyland with all its hotels and shopping area was, I think, was $5.5 billion US dollars, and we're getting 15. So there's a lot that can be built with this.
The other really interesting thing is Disneyland, not Disneyland Paris, sorry, Disney, the Walt Disney Company, while they've been doing their rides, you may have noticed that a lot of them are now able to be multi-themed. And I say that in the technology behind Shanghai's Pirates of the Caribbean relies heavily on projection and scene mapping, as does Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, as does Cosmic Rewind at Epcot. These are all rides that have easy retheming potential. Tron, for example, like it's interesting to see because they use a lot more use of projectors and a lot more use of sort of screens and technology like that makes it a lot easier for them to create a ride that's one thing on one side of the world, is an absolute duplicate on the other side of the world, but has a very
Yeah,
different
completely
story in
different.
it. Yeah. And that, I think that's important for Disney to develop technologies like that because one of the main complaints that they have is that, well, why would I go to Disneyland Paris if I can do Walt Disney World and get the same thing? And I think they've struggled to differentiate that, you know, although three parks have Space Mountain, they are all different. In fact, all parks have Space Mountain, they're all different. But I think they've struggled, and that's why we've had Hyperspace Mountain for so long, which, by the way, was another addition on the 25th anniversary. It just never ever went away. And I think one of the big differentiation points they've got is, well, how do you tell the general audience that these parks are different? And, you know, if you can use Cosmic Rewind's technology, but change the theme from Cosmic Rewind to, I don't know, Ant-Man and Quantum Mania sort of thing, you can very quickly create bespoke experiences without necessarily having to spend all the money you would do on building new rides. I mean, the truth is, new rides and new technologies are cool, but there comes a point, and you've seen this with like Hagrid's, and you've seen this with Rise of the Resistance. If you go too far in front of what technology can do today, you create a situation where you're going to have a lot of downtime, and you're going to have a lot of B mode, and you're going to have a lot of, you know, if you push the envelope too far, you end up in a
With
position where you
problems.
have, and do those problems age well? Are they, you know, do they need a lot of maintenance? Do they have a lot of cost long in the future? So, in some ways, you know, if you look at VelociCoaster, it's a very simple coaster. It's a fast coaster with not a lot. I mean, every technology on VelociCoaster already exists in every other ride around the world. They just put it all together and said, "Ta-da, we've created something new out of things that are very, you know, simple technologies." And it cost them, I think VelociCoaster was 65 million or something. It was so cheap.
100%. I mean, compared to Cosmic Rewind, it was just a drop in the bucket.
I mean, you could have so many. So I think that when we look at what's coming, I don't think we should be too shocked. I think some of the rumors are that the Lion King ride will be based heavily on the Pirates of the Caribbean from Shanghai.
Could be.
And I think that
I've heard that it could be like a mix of Shanghai's Disneyland Pirates and something like Splash Mountain. So it could be like a smaller boat, more like a log flume, but with the magnetic moving parts that Shanghai has, which is the big new thing that Pirates had.
Yeah. So I think the overall point, though, is that those rides have already been pioneered. That technology already exists. And while we don't need a new Pirates of the Caribbean, nobody's asking for one, that technology could be very easily reused, because you can see it when you look at the Shanghai ride-throughs. You think to yourself, that could be reused for any ride. So, I like it. I really, really like it. And I think that's probably the future. Now, we've been on for about an hour now, so unless you've got anything else you're dying to throw in there, I think that's probably wraps up for me.
Yeah, I think so too. Nothing really scratch my mind.
Nothing huge to add. I think the only other thing we'll probably have to add is you're going to see a huge expansion around the Disney Lake. You're going to see new hotels, and I'm pretty confident we're going to see some form of DVC style thing taking over.
Yeah,
because it's being added now at Disneyland. It's been added in Hong Kong, Shanghai. You can already use your DVC points to stay at some of the hotels, the Art of Marvel and the Disneyland Hotel. You can use DVC points for both those things. Okay. So I would imagine that there's going to be, it might be that there's not DVC specific, but I would think there's probably going to be, you know, an expansion of some of the hotels that already exist. Again, as we said, the car parks are never very full. It's a really easy use of land for them to, you know, knock out a bit of the car park and build an exclusive lodge or two for the Sequoia. A little bit extra the Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel. It allowed, you know, the Cheyenne effectively could be replicated another 100 times. The Santa Fe is the same. They were always built to be expanded, so they're built in a way that is. There's going to be an awful lot more partner hotels. There's going to be an awful lot more development on the sort of west side of Val d'Europe, which isn't Disney money, but you know that whole circle of Disneyland Paris is starting to fill up a little bit now. I'm still confident we're going to see some sort of indoor water park, because Disney likes the whole idea of keeping you there for a couple of extra days. And then the only other thing, sorry, I do have one more point.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I've been talking to some people, not cast members, but because I don't really know any cast members, to be totally honest with you. A lot of them are seasonal, and then, you know, the details you get are sketchy at best. But you know, unlike Disney World, a lot of the cast are temporary at Disneyland Paris. A lot of them travel from lots of European countries to work there. But on the travel agent side of things, and on the sort of TWDC side of things, it seems that Disney Cruise Line is about to get a lot more sort of that, what is it they call it, the synchronicity across the business, like their synergy business or something, like only Disney has this synergy. So I've been hearing a few things. Number one is that Disney Plus is soon going to be available in hotel rooms across, like, the Disney worlds. So Paris and Orlando and things like that. Like, Disney Plus is just what you should expect on the TVs. It already is kind of in place on the cruise line, and it's probably going to be Disney Plus on the cruise line sort of thing coming soon. Because I think they do have, it is like Disney Plus on the cruise line already. But
I don't know. It could be. Doesn't the Hotel in New York have it, though? I think
they have a version of it.
So, I mean, it makes complete sense, to be honest, to have Disney Plus in the TVs.
So Disney Plus is going to get built into the TVs. You'll have seen already Disney Plus is getting offered, you know, if you book a certain amount of stay at Disneyland Paris, occasionally you get offered Disney Plus for the year. Did you get offered it?
Yeah, I did. A full year of free Disney Plus.
So, I mean, what is that? What is a year of Disney Plus? It's like £8 a year for us. That's about 100 quid, maybe. So 100 British pounds.
Yeah, I think it's like 110 euros. Yeah, so I'm not sure, but it's...
€110. It's about $130, $140 worth. And that's a free gift for booking with them. Yeah. So a huge benefit. Much, yes. They're going to plumb that into the hotels. They're going to plumb it into the cruise line. So it's branded Disney Plus, and I think it is going to be the Disney Plus app. And then the other thing I've heard is, you know how they have their private islands and they're building their second private island in America? So you've got the Disney Cruise Liner building the whole. They've got Castaway Key, and then they've got a second island. I forget its name just now, but they've got a whole second island getting built for its cruise ships. We've got all the extra cruise ships. We've got the 7th and 8th and the Global Dream and all that. What I have heard is they really like the returns they're getting for some of like the European cruises. So we're going to be getting a lot more sort of stationed boats, a lot more permanent boats. So they can do like UK summer holiday in UK and then into Spain for the colder months and into
Interesting.
yeah, they're going to
It
work their
makes
way all
sense.
but from what I've heard there's a whole you can't own private islands really in Europe, like that's a big no-no, like we're unlike the contiguous United States where they've not had maritime fights for their entire life. They've realized that private islands and stuff in Europe usually lead to world wars. Famously, like Argentina and the UK went to a fight over the Falklands or something and had a massive battle and sunk each other's ships. And so, to be totally honest, we're not private islands are not a thing that do very well in Europe. However, the point is not that. It's in the absence of those private islands, Disney are considering using Disneyland Paris as like the stopover point. So the point being is you would book like a 7-day cruise slash stay, and you would do a couple of days at sea, you would dock in France, you would travel to Disneyland Paris and stay for 2 days or 3 days in Disneyland Paris before getting back on a boat that will have done a cruise with another set of people while you're in Disneyland Paris.
Oh, wow.
But you'll do half your trip in Disneyland Paris and then get back on the boat or and or fly home. So they're looking at integrated cruises with the Disneyland Paris resort acting as like the private island sort of thing. And from what I've heard, it's really quite snazzy in the sense that much like the, do you remember Disney's Magical Express in Orlando? There'd be a specific like cruise boat that would be straight from there, and I've heard that like the Newport Bay will be the hotel of choice for this link up. So you'll go from your cruise to Newport Bay, and it'll be as though on the cruise the port is the Newport Bay. So when you dock at the Parisian port, it's effectively, like that whole Galactic Star Cruiser experience. You get off the boat, you get onto your cruise bus, and then the next thing is you arrive at the Newport Bay, which is obviously nautically themed, and the whole point is that your entire stay is a cruise, even though you're on land and you're in Disneyland Paris. So I've heard this is their amazing like linked up synchronicity
That's pretty
concept.
fun. That's
And I
pretty
just
fun.
when I heard it, I thought, wow, this is new. This is radical. This is Disneyland Paris like pulling out all the stops.
That's
So
actually pretty exciting.
it is when
It
you hear
makes
about it, isn't
complete
it?
sense. It makes complete sense as well.
So that's how they're doing their like
Love it.
integrated stays. I would imagine you're probably going to get your food and everything. Like I think it's going to be kind of like full board because obviously the boats are. So yeah, that was the one more exciting piece of news that I've heard is the Disney Europe side of the Disney Cruise Line, to integrate it
I
all
like that.
into. And it's only possible now, of course, because Disneyland Paris is now fully owned by TWDC. So they can sell the whole sort of package. So you're talking the whole package from Disney Plus to Disney Boat to Disney Newport Bay, pretending you're still on a like you've docked to the idea is you've kind of docked in the Lake Disney and you're getting off your boat into the Newport Bay and then you're going to visit Disneyland Paris and then you'll obviously get back on your bus and arrive back on your boat. It's just I genuinely when I heard it and was told that I was like that is such a cool idea and only Disney can do it. Like it elevates it because they own all these properties. They own all this ability to do this. So I really hope they're exploring it. I really hope they pull it off. I'd love to do it. I'd love to do a couple of days in the boat,
That
sailing
makes
from
I love it.
Spain or Portsmouth or Southampton or wherever they pick up in the UK and then arriving a day or two later in Disneyland Paris and then finishing your trip there. It just sounds wonderful.
It does. It really does. Doesn't Walt Disney World have something similar to that, I think?
They do, but I don't
I
think
don't
it's themed. I think it's just kind of you can do you
Oh,
like.
it just happens.
Well, I
There's
think it's
no
really. I think it's very much you can book a stay at Walt Disney World and you can choose like 4 of those days to go out to see, and they just kind of take you.
okay.
But I think it's still very separate, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not going to really integrate it like this as well. But the way it was sold to me and the way it was explained to me is expect them to. You know, like the Newport Bay has been chosen specifically because it continues a nautical theme and you're on the cruise and it's all about that sort of nonsense. So that was. And the point
It's
is,
pretty
you
fun.
won't. Yeah, well, you won't be doing check-in or anything. You won't be going to Disneyland Paris check-in. The whole
It's all
point is,
seamless.
yeah, it's just one continual stay.
Okay. I like that a lot. I really
So
do.
do I. But, well, do you know what? We will have to wait and see. And I think. Because they've
Yep.
got the. What's the cruise thing they've got that you put on your wrist? Disney cruise wrist
Oh,
thing.
it's the Disney Band, Disney Band
Something like
Plus.
that, isn't it? Disney Band Plus, which is like
Yeah.
Magic Band. It's like the Magic Band, but it's
It's
not.
the same thing. It's the same thing with a different name.
Yes, but this is why it's terribly interesting, because I think it probably confirms that Magic Band or Disney Band or whatever is all soon going to merge and
Ooh.
be cross resort, if that makes sense.
Yes, I would love that so much.
You know, that it's, I mean, if they're going to do Magic Band on the cruise and that's your ticket to get in Disneyland Paris, it sounds like then you've got Disney Band, which works on the cruise and Paris, and then you're going to end up with, you know, it's not going to take long before somebody goes, let's plug them in together and make, you know, Magic Band. And I think, you know, before Chapek was kicked out, he was talking about, you know, Disney needs to look at a way where it's much more holistic in the sense of rather than you've got a park ticket, you might have some sort of subscription that allows you certain number of days in the parks. Like your Disney Plus would become. You know, you could have Disney Plus that's TV only, or you could have Disney Plus that's got 14 park days or something. And I think we're going to see interchangeability in the sense of whether you spend your 14 days in Disneyland Paris, Walt Disney World, or Disneyland California. I think we're going to see those three being very linked in the sense that, you know, they encourage you to see anyone you like. So
You know, the Chapek was a big Synergy fan.
yeah,
And I think that could easily be a product from his stay as CEO. But I do think that on the contrary to some of his plans, that's actually pretty nice. And I really like that.
yeah, I think it's
It's a pretty fun concept. Really
It
like
is.
it.
It is. And I think that probably wraps us up. Sorry, I got so sidetracked and forgot to tell you about that. And I thought, oh, that's the last thing that's the last big thing that I've been looking into, and it's been terribly exciting. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining us on another Disney Discord podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure. It has been only a week or so since we've done the last one, but so much happened in this week that, you know, we just had to cover it, and Bernardo is probably needing to go back to his bed now because he's been traveling for days. And he'd done what was your longest day? You'd done like 8 a.m. to like 2 a.m. or some
Oh
rubbish.
yeah, I woke up at like it was like 6:45, and I went to bed. It was like 2:30 in the morning, so it was a
Who?
pretty intense day.
But I bet you were ready for the ride.
I was always am ready for
Well,
the
listeners, make sure you dream and shine brighter. I've been Graham, and Bernardo's
ride.
been Bernardo. Goodbye.
Well, bye bye.